I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, Michelle Obama says she wants to expand her role as First Lady. But with eye-popping approval ratings, why does she need to? The moms weigh in. That's in just a few minutes. Plus, we will remember Michael Jackson. But first, we're going to talk more about the effects of the recession. We just talked about the worsening unemployment numbers, another sign of how bad the economy still is. And now we want to talk about another looming casualty of the recession. These institutions might be invisible to many Americans, but to millions of others, they are critical cultural touchstones. Ethnic media. These are media organizations owned by, run by, and meant to serve ethnic communities. Just yesterday, we learned that the Bay State Banner, the only black newspaper in Boston, laid off its 12 employees and went on hiatus. Last week, the publishers of Vibe magazine, known as the Hip Hop Bible, announced that it is folding after 16 years. And the venerable Johnson Publishing Company, publisher of Ebony and Jet magazines, is also coping with a severe financial crunch. We wanted to talk more about this and what it means, so we've called on Richard Prince. He's the author of Journalisms. It's an online publication about diversity issues in the media. Ken Smichael is president of Target Market News. It's a Chicago-based company that monitors African-American marketing and media. And Mimi Valdez-Ryan. She's editor of Latina Magazine, and she's a former editor of Vibe. She joins us from our New York Bureau. Welcome to you all. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Glad to be here, Michelle.
Richard Prince, let me start with you. As we mentioned, the Bay State Banner announced it's going on hiatus just yesterday, the only black newspaper in Boston. Vibe has been publishing. It was considered a very successful publication. It's a kind of a must-read for people particularly interested in hip-hop and the music industry. And as we said, Ebony is considered to be on the ropes. It's mortgaged itself to its printer because it couldn't pay its printing bills. Is there a common thread here?
Well, the common thread, of course, is the recession. There is another common thread, and that is advertising and the attitude of corporate advertisers toward the ethnic media. In other words, when push comes to shove, they're the first to go.
But of course, you've documented probably better than anybody the erosion in the sort of the general market media. You've also documented the number of, say, memberships in ethnic media organizations like the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, the National Association of Black Journalists. Most of these people don't work in ethnic media. They work in places like the
That's
Chicago
right.
Tribune, the Washington Post, which have had buyouts and layoffs. So are there particular issues that the ethnic media are suffering that are different from or apart from the what everybody in the media is going through?
Well, you know, in some ways, the ethnic media have an advantage over the corporate media in that a lot of them are smaller and family-owned. They don't have huge debts, which is what's gotten the Tribune Company and some other companies in trouble, so that they can, you know, they can withstand that onslaught. But on the other hand, as I say, when it comes time for the big companies to, or the supermarkets to start cutting, it's just as diversity is in the news business, it's the first to go. And that's what happened to the Bay State Banner in Boston. They were it was an advertising problem more than anything else. And Boston has a small black-owned base of advertisers to draw from. And so when even that goes, then they're in trouble.
Ken, can we hear from you on this? What's your take on this question?
Well, I think each instance has to be looked at individually, because while the recession is having an overall negative effect on business generally, each business in the media sector, even the African-American and Latino media sector, has its own scenario to suffer with. So when we hear these stories, we tend to want to put them together and create a larger story, one of doom and gloom, which I think is over-exaggerated, partly because we're not privy to the information about areas where we're doing well. Cable, for example, cable advertising on African-American networks and programming is holding its own and doing pretty well going into the first quarter of this year, up 18%. Versus radio dropping 27%, I mean 10%, and magazines dropping 27%. So in each case, Richard's right about the unique problems that the Bay State Banner has, a small African-American population, small metropolitan area where newspaper publishers typically are dependent on retail advertising for their survival. But there are bright signs. Walmart has more than doubled the amount of advertising it spends in black media. And I think depending on the resources of each individual business, it will ride out this period or well or not at all. But, you know, I've got to say that when we look at what's going on in the larger media landscape, there have been no black newspapers that have folded during this cycle. We've seen a number of general market newspapers that have, and we're still seeing growth and development among areas like magazines where there's still new publications that are coming out. Vibe's biggest problem was that they had to service debt. The Wix Group had to spend tens of millions of dollars to acquire Vibe and try to invest in improving it. So each circumstance is different. I don't think Ebony and Jet are going anywhere anytime soon. Thankfully, Johnson Publishing has the resources to do what every other publisher, whether it's Condé Nast, Hearst, what have you, are doing to survive. They're leveraging the resources that they have to offset the lack of advertising.
Mimi, what's your take on this? I'm particularly interested in the question of whether is it a question of the, some of these institutions were just carrying too much debt, or is it perhaps that they're not servicing their markets properly?
No, I think more than anything, I mean, definitely the advertising climate has had a terrible effect on Ethic Media because with a lot of those corporations, when they're looking at their budgets, they do cut the ethnic budget. You know, they feel like if they're going to spend their money on advertising, you know, we need to do general market. And it's unfortunate because there is this sort of perception that ethnic markets aren't as valuable as the general market. So that's one problem. But then in Vibe's case specifically, yes, you know, it was a magazine that had a lot of debt. And I think that, you know, when the Wix Group acquired it and you know, basically just owed millions and millions of dollars, it was going to be really hard to figure that out in the wake of everything going on with the economy and a magazine that definitely depends on advertising to survive.
The irony of all this, of course, is that there's a report that just came out, a national study on the penetration of ethnic media in America by the New America Media Group, that says that ethnic media reaches approximately 57 million African-Americans, Hispanics, and Asian-Americans on a regular basis, or 82% of all adults from the three most important, biggest ethnic and racial groups in the United States. So it suggests that there is a market there.
Well,
what really needs to be learned from that information, Michelle, is that niche marketing, niche media is the future. It has been the present for a very long time. But those media organizations that are suffering the most are those that are not niche oriented or those that are not treating the audience that they serve as a unique niche with its own characteristics that would be appealing to advertisers.
Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, how can Ebony and Jet be anything but
They have learned, but the Condé Nast of the world have not learned that. The general market newspapers even have not learned, because newspapers are really the last mass market medium that we have in this country operating at that level of a business. They sell news, and they sell it to everyone. And in a market where people can really sort of cherry pick what kind of news they want, the depth that they want it, newspapers are in serious trouble, because not only are they losing circulation, but they're losing appeal to advertisers who can much more cost-effectively go to other mediums to reach specific targeted consumers.
Wait a minute, can I ask Mimi a question? Mimi, you were saying, though, that despite the market that is there, you're saying advertisers still don't necessarily see it that way.
Yeah,
that they see it as a luxury to advertise to these particular groups.
Yeah,
it's not
still
a necessity.
Still, with all these reports that come out and all this data and research, you know, at the end of the day, there's someone at one of these corporations that is in charge of an advertising budget who just doesn't understand it. What they know is general market, and this is what they feel comfortable with. And they look at all these studies, and they're just kind of like, you know, I'm scared about losing my job, and if I'm going to figure out where's the best place to put this advertising budget, I'm going to go to general market. That happens all the time.
If you're just, I'm sorry, Ken, excuse me, I just need to jump in to say, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the effect of the recession on ethnic media. I'm speaking with Mimi Valdez-Ryan. She's editor of Latina Magazine, former editor of Vibe Magazine, Richard Prince, author of Journalism, an online publication that covers diversity issues in the news business, and Ken Smichel, president of Target Market News. Richard Prince, though, I do want to go back and ask, the question arises often, is it racism or is it me? And the question are these publications in fact doing the job? Are they meeting the needs of the community? Are they maintaining the circulation? Are they actually popular enough to support the ad dollars that they want?
Well, it depends. In a lot of cases, the circulations of particularly the African-American newspapers is pretty small. And advertisers can be forgiven in a lot of cases for thinking that they can reach these same people through the general market. It's not the case with the Hispanic media, however, where in both cases you do have a trust factor that the general media do not have. People feel more comfortable and they trust the information in these in the African-American media and in the Hispanic media more than they do the general circulation media. But there are other advantages in that the Hispanics, for example, have been portrayed rather negatively in the general media. So a lot of, and sort of African Americans, but with Hispanics, particularly with this immigration debate, a lot of Latino readers will feel, you know, why should I even bother reading the general media? Then you have, of course, the language issue also, where a lot of the first generation Hispanics feel more comfortable reading in Spanish. And so there's a definite advantage there.
I could see it as a trust issue. Hold on one second. I can see it as a trust issue, but I could also see that people might see it as a luxury. So Mimi, I just want to hear your experience with this at Latina Magazine. On the one hand, are you finding that even if the ad dollars are more difficult to come by, that the readership is holding up? Or are people saying, well, gee, you know, this is $3 that I could spend on something else?
No, I definitely think our readership is holding up. Like, our subscriptions have definitely increased. Our audience online has definitely increased. So the audience is there. That's undeniable. But it's just a struggle dealing with the advertisers and just sort of reminding them how important this audience is.
Ken?
I beg to differ in whole with what Richard was saying about advertisers being forgiven because black newspapers have small audiences. The reason all ethnic media has a difficult time maintaining business and growing as businesses is because they do not get advertising dollars commensurate with the value of the audiences that they represent. Were that to happen, then no black newspaper in this country, no Latino publication in this country would be suffering for advertising dollars, but that simply isn't the case. And I think what we are seeing, and we haven't talked about at all, is increasing activism on the part of consumers in a time of economic chaos when they realize they really are holding the cards and they're demanding more of companies that they patronize.
Are they?
And they are. I think
How do you know that? How do you see that?
Well, the initiative here in Chicago, what was originally called the Ebony Experiment, now called the Empowerment Experiment, where a couple has decided that they are going to spend all of their dollars for an entire year for all of their needs and services only with black-owned companies. I mean, that's absolutely revolutionary. And the ideas that they're generating are phenomenal and have tremendous potential to impact all black-owned businesses. So I think that we're going to get to the point where the consumer's voice gets heard in all of this, and that will make a big difference in how advertisers respond to the media outlets that are serving them.
I'd like to spend in the time we have left just a sense of what the future holds. For example, Richard Prince, does a story like the death of Michael Jackson offer an opportunity to ethnic media to perhaps provide coverage that might not be available elsewhere that would allow them to distinguish themselves? Or is it another example where they get kind of crushed by the powerhouse networks who have, you know, people to send and money to spend and can, you know, fly people out and things of that sort? What do you see as the future for this particular part of the business?
I think there's a great opportunity with stories like the Michael Jackson story to cover from a perspective that you won't get in the mainstream media. Unfortunately, I'm not convinced that they're seizing that opportunity. Not only are they out-resourced, but I sense a general lack of imagination in a lot of cases. I was talking with somebody from one of the black African-American websites saying that I was impressed by what I had read in the Los Angeles Times. And this person said, well, you can't compare black media with the Los Angeles Times. And I said, no, it's not a question of resources. It's a question of mindset. If you think you can do something that the Los Angeles Times can't do, then you've got the advantage, and you go for it. But I think that's part of the problem there, and that's a larger discussion. But I don't think that the people are attracting the kind of people that they need to attract in order to take advantage of what they have to offer.
Mimi, what about you? What do you see as the future of ethnic media? Do you see further opportunities to demonstrate a real passion for stories, a real skill in covering certain stories, which distinguishes it, or do you see it as another example of kind of what do you see?
Well, I think in terms of where this audience is and where it can grow and where it can continue to be relevant is online, because I think, you know, the costs of running a website are much less than running a magazine where you have paper and printing and you're depending on advertising. But I think that there is a really large world out there of ethnic media online that has a really significant audience, just different, you know, small entrepreneurs that are really trying to basically, you know, maintain sort of cultural integrity and really give this audience a voice. I just hope that as time goes on that they have the audience, but that they're able to actually convince advertisers that this audience is an audience that they want to be a part of.
Ken Smichael, final thought from you. You have about 50 seconds.
Well, I think that it all relies on how we're going to get advertisers to be more appreciative of the value of black and Latino consumers and how to support the things that they support. Because, yes, it is cost efficient to run a website and do all your content there. And it levels the playing field in terms of what you spend in order to get your message out. But at the end of the day, if the ethnic sites don't get the kind of ad revenue that other sites get, they simply won't be able to compete. And we already are seeing the encroachment of general market media like CNN and others in trying to do programming to tap into this market. They are certainly going after the advertising that comes along with them.
All
so
right.
We still got a way to go.
Thank you. We have to leave it there for now. Ken Smichael is president of Target Market News. It's a Chicago-based company that monitors African-American marketing and media. We were also joined by Richard Prince, author of the online publication Journalism. He was here with me in Washington. And Mimi Valdez-Ryan is editor of Latina Magazine. She joined us from New York. Thank you all so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Michelle.